A reading for Reformation Day is from Romans, the third chapter. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith, apart from the works of the law. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This celebration is, forgive me, a bit premature. And yet, it is just right. Luther's 1517 theses prove that buying off sin's penalties with indulgences was no substitute for being cleansed of the guilt of sin by the blood of Christ. But if they had not fought him on this point, the Reformation might have stopped quite short. For in one of those 95 theses, he writes, "No one is sure of his own contrition, sorrow for sin." And I'll give him that. But he goes on to say, much less is anyone sure of having received full remission or forgiveness. No one is sure, Luther says, and has, I think, a way still to go. What can you do with certainty? It seems the least thing to ask that those who have sinned against us at least be truly sorry before we forgive them. But are you ever sure you are truly sorry? You know you've said sorry when you didn't mean it. When you weren't sad you did it, just sad you got caught. When you were worried much more about penalties than about guilt, paying the piper more than pleasing God. When you wanted an indulgence instead of an absolution. Are you sure you ever want more? If even truly sorry is necessary to make the forgiveness flow, though, how can one ever be sorry enough for loving oneself more than one's neighbors? Or for fearing, loving, and trusting, let's be honest, practically every other thing more than the Lord our God? All this uncertainty was still gnawing at Luther in 1517. In it, worry doubles down. Do I believe if it is by faith? Can God really be for me anymore? He tried everything the church had to try, hard as a good monk and priest could. He knew already it was by grace through faith, but he just couldn't see those bringing him, despite all his efforts, him around to the perfection God required. Truly sorry, even? Luther doubted it. So what would become of Luther? Or if salvation depends on anything in us, what will become of us? Luther, looking back on these straits years later, remembered hating words from this epistle, the righteousness of God. He hated these words when he ran across them in the scriptures, especially when Paul used them earlier in his letter to the Romans and said, in the gospel, The righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. Luther looked at these words and said, if the gospel, like the law, reveals God's righteous standard, but more so, Luther's in trouble. What's to believe in that? However, to live up to God's own righteousness, which is perfection, however hard he tried, sin was still there in the flesh, and the righteousness of God he found there not yet. Who can have certainty, he said, of plenary absolution, of complete forgiveness, of being straight with God? That's why 2017 may be a bit early to celebrate. In 1517, Luther may not have been quite Lutheran yet. And if we are unsure that we are right with God, maybe it's too early for us. And if we've come to peace with being unsure about that, we're way off. And perhaps that's the case. For what do we do with certainty? Not much. Despite the fact that we ought to be fully reconciled to Almighty God, think of it, the one who can do all things in the absolution promises to be fully on our side. We may believe it, but what do we do with it? The fear of man, of failure, of being ashamed by the gospel, what is this but unreformation, maybe even unbelief? The sum of it is we may doubt God is on our side just as much as the 1517 Luther might have. But we might be more comfortable with the uncertainty. God save us from such a lukewarm end. But of course, he did save Luther. For when Luther wore out and could finally do no more to make himself sure of God's favor, that God was for him, the Lord finally got his clear word through Luther's thick skull. In our epistle today, we see clearly what that righteousness of God is that is revealed in the gospel. As Luther did a little after 1517, and turned from hating these words into loving them in an Augenblick, blink of an eye. It's not that Luther found there the edges knocked off God's holiness or purity. It's not that God there took it down a notch. He was right about God's holiness all along. At the law of God, every mouth is to be stopped. No more excuses. And the whole world held accountable to God. The gospel is not a mealy-mouthed law or some kind of partial credit. Nothing short of perfection will do. So that try as you might, by the works of the law, no human being will be justified. None. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How foolish we were to think that our works could be trusted to make God love us. Luther probably felt a little foolish too, but when he finally bottomed out on all of that, he also came to know something even more important. That it is also foolish, a misunderstanding, to be unsure that God loves us because we can't make that scheme work. This is the breakthrough that Luther reached from the scriptures, or the scriptures reached with him, that turned everything around. Before that, he knew about grace and faith, but he thought these were to straighten him up, for God to love the straightened up Luther. But like St. Paul, who finds a contrary law at work in his members, he says, the thing I would do, I do not. And that I would do, I don't. Luther found no certainty in himself, in his will, in his works. Even with all of God's help, the flesh is weak. Even Luther's, even Paul's, even yours. Who will rescue me, we all say, from this body of death? But St. Paul says here, the righteousness of God is not that ruler that God holds to us and we all fall short. But it is through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. God's righteousness is greater than ours. It's different, of a different kind. The best that we can imagine to do is to do what's right and to hold others to the same. But God's righteousness exceeds this. It is that he justifies
forgives, counts as righteous and good, and loves the one who has faith in Jesus, a sinner. That he forgives sinners purely for Christ's sake so completely that there is nothing for us to do but to admit, to believe that God in Christ has done it all. God's righteousness is the forgiveness of sins for free for Christ's sake. And thanks be to God for that in Jesus Christ our Lord. For the redemption is never in us, but always in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward to be the full payment by his blood to be received simply by faith. God counts this faith as righteousness in his sight. And in that, there is nothing left for you to doubt. Nothing God looks for in you to see whether you're just and good or not. He looks at Jesus. And for that, you love him. And you love this all-surpassing righteousness of his, that with him there is forgiveness, so that he may be feared and loved and trusted. And if you love him, you no more desire to overthrow his law, but to keep his commandments. And when you fail as you will, it is no cause then to doubt, but God there calls you to look all the more to Jesus, who forgives your sins again and absolutely for his own sake. And trusting that, the righteousness of God is yours now. For God counts this faith in Jesus and the forgiveness of sins as righteousness in his sight. And there is absolute certainty for Luther and for us. Now, what will you do with that certainty? Well, today's not an end, but a beginning. 20 years after 1517, Luther had, with his certainty, made popes and emperors alike wonder, what am I going to do with Luther's certainty? They'd raised an army to do something about it, an army against the word. Luther was asked to boil down what of his teaching must endure, what might be given up to make for peace. The heart of the small called articles is our epistle passage today. All have sinned and are justified freely without their own works or merits by his grace, through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ by his blood. This, Luther says, is necessary to believe. There is no other way to get at this righteousness, by doing or paying anything, other than to believe that Christ has already done it, to come and receive it in the word and the sacraments given for free, for and straight to you, that you may not doubt but believe. Nothing of this article of justification, Luther says, can be yielded or surrendered, even though heaven and earth and everything else falls. These words of Paul, that God is just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus, that we are justified by faith apart from the works of the law, are the heart of the Reformation, of the Lutheran Church, the very heart of the entire Christian faith. And if those who are righteous by faith shall live, then the life of those who are righteous is by faith. This passage is not only the heart of the church and of theology, it's the heart of all life that matters. Because it answers the question what you can do with certainty. Even in this time, even should armies array against the word and the pillars of the world and the state and the family be struck and trembling, on this word Luther stood, saying, here I stand, I can do no other. God help me. Amen. And God helped. And 500 years later, the word of God he spoke in clarity has still changed everything. What will you do with this certainty? Everything by the word of God. Everything in your God, in whom all things are possible, who looks on you and sees Christ crucified and would have you rise in him and your neighbors and says, your sins are forgiven, not on account of anything in you, but for everything in him. And there the God in whom all things are possible is certainly for you. That you may not only by faith live forever someday, but that you may really live now by faith. You have been made righteous with the blood of God. Almighty God is for you, has given you his word with certainty. We are still being reformed in living that out. But we celebrate today anyway, for our God finishes what he has started, and our God he is. Live by faith. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.